All right, so last week we started a new series. I don't know if you guys noticed or not. We're not in the family plan anymore. But we started talking about the book of Philippians. And we talked about how Paul wrote this letter, which we call a book, right? And he wrote it to a church in a place called Philippi, which is why we call them Philippians, right? They weren't flipping nuts. Get it? I worked on that for a while. Anyway, but actually they kind of were. They were a church that was made up of some people that we would probably hear about and be like, wait a minute, I'm not sure I feel comfortable going to meet with those people because they might be a little crazy. And they were made up of like prison guards who hated Christians previously, and they were made up of former prostitutes and demon-possessed people and like all these different people that probably wouldn't be high on your list to like hang out with. But yet they came to know Jesus and God radically changed their lives in a way that we just saw last week. Totally changed them in a way that said, I want people to know how awesome Jesus is. And people would see them and be like, wait, weren't you like possessed by a demon at one point? And now like you're so different. And weren't you like that jailer that used to beat Christians? And what happened to you? And so the people around them could actually see the difference in their lives. And so when Paul wrote this letter, he starts off, and we talked about it last week, saying, you guys are awesome. Like, I love you more than any of the other churches I've been around. I don't know if I'm allowed to play favorites, but you're my favorite church. And so for you and I to hear that that's your favorite church, Paul, like, I would expect the Apostle Paul's favorite church to be made up of, like, martyrs and these crazy, like, really theologically, like, smart people. And that wasn't it. Like, they were people whose lives were total messes. Like, these people were broken and they were in crazy sin and they were not the people you would probably expect to even find at church. But the beauty of the whole picture is that God's big enough to take broken messes and sinful people and make them absolutely beautiful. To the point where Paul's like, they're my favorite church. Like, I love you guys more than any of the other ones because when you accepted Jesus, there was something awesome about you. You changed like this. And you got like passionate about the gospel and you can't keep it like in your mouth. You have to go like tell everybody about it. He's like, I love that. I love that about you because when I look at you, I see the gospel. I don't just hear you talk about it a lot. I don't just hear you sing about it. I watch you live it out. And he's like, that's why you're my favorite. And so he writes this whole letter to them. And I want you to keep in mind that this can apply to us too. That the things he's saying isn't just for the Philippians, but they're good for us to hear these truths and that they can apply to our lives. So that kind of catches us up to where we're at. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 1, if you guys want to open with me, starting in verse 12 tonight. Philippians 1:12. How many of you guys know Pastor Fias? How many of you guys have? Quite a few of you. Okay, cool. Pastor Fias is kind of a crazy man. He's a crazy Arab guy who like is one of my favorite people in the world. I love him. Him and I were on this trip once to China. And some of you guys have, I think, have heard this story about something we did. But Fias, if you don't know, is kind of a prankster. Right now he's had like two babies, so he's calmed down a little bit. But he used to be like a crazy prankster back in the day, and he was always doing wild stuff. And I was always like the goody two shoes guy, like, we better not do that, Fias. Like, we'll get in trouble. And he was like, no, let's try this. Let's do it. It'll be so much fun. So we were on a trip to China once, and the two of us get over there, and like it's kind of miserable because it's 12 hours different. So when it's midnight here, it's noon there, and it's like, oh, my body's gonna die. And the beds were so hard that, like, when you touch the bed, this is softer. Okay? That's softer than the beds over there we had. I have a video. I should have brought it. Of Fias. He, like, got on his knees on the bed and then just, like, fell. And when he hit it, it was, like, just plywood. It was, like, boom! And he just, like, broke. Everything broke. Like, the beds were hard. Everything was terrible. At least where we were at. I'm not knocking China. But we were just, like, what's going on? This trip is miserable. We need to have some fun. So Fias, like, perks up. He's, like, let's play a prank. I'm like, no, Fias, we better not. You know, we're in China. He's like, no, let's do this. So his idea was this. We went on the internet because for us, we're like wide awake. Everybody else is sleeping. And we're like, what do we do? Because it's noon for us and everyone else is like snoring. He's like, let's go to the internet and let's create a fake account. Okay, why do you want to do that? He's like, so in this fake account, we're going to use it to email Titus. And we're going to tell Titus that we're somebody else, that we're the missionary that we came down to visit. And we're going to say, hey, Titus, I need to let you know, those two crazy guys you just sent just got locked up in prison here in China.
what?
I'm like, no, we can't do that. He's like, yeah, we can. So he just does it. And we sit down and we start writing this letter. Click, he sends it. And we're like, what's going to happen to us? We're going to die. Like, I'm freaking out. And he's like, ha, ha, this is fun. I'm like, it's not fun. We're going to go to jail. And so anyway, the next thing we hear is this quick email response back from a pastor here. His name was Andy, and he was our missions pastor. He said, I had to run into Titus's office as he was picking up the phone, calling the U.S. embassy, like, in that moment to, like, get us, like, released from it. I was like, ah, bad craziness. So, yeah, he stopped him just in time. All right, so everybody, and I'm still here. I'm still alive. So that was good. That was really good. But Fias is a prankster. I don't even know why I told you that story. I forgot. Hold on. I got distracted here. I seriously have to read this because I forgot why I told you that story. Oh, okay. Here's what, yeah, Fias, yeah. He's a crazy guy. Well, here's the deal. That didn't actually happen. We didn't actually go to jail. But what if it had? What if tonight I was standing here and I was going to tell you guys this like crazy announcement, not pranking you like he would have done, but totally serious and said, hey, y'all, I need to let you know we need to pray tonight. Fias was over in, let's say, like the Middle East, and he's on a mission trip right now, and he got caught. And right now, Fias is in prison in the Middle East, and we have no idea what's happening to him. He's probably being beaten badly right now. And he's this pastor of our church that we love, like, with all our heart. We love this guy. We need to pray. How many of you would that, like, freak out? Like, because here's the reality. That could happen. Like, right now, some of us went to the Middle East or went to some places where the gospel is not accepted, and you're sharing the gospel and got caught? We could get that phone call or that prank email that would actually be serious. Said, hey, listen, like, I need to let you know, so-and-so just got locked up over here, and they're beating him in prison. I don't know about you, but, man, that's some deep stuff. That would mess me up a little bit. I'd be sitting up here like, what do we do? Like, and here's Paul, and what we're reading tonight, that's exactly what's happening in this letter. Because Paul's writing a letter to the Philippians, his favorite church that he loves, and he's saying, I'm writing to you from where? From prison. I got locked up for sharing the gospel. They grabbed me and they threw me in prison and they've beaten me and I'm stuck in here with the rats, trapped in this dungeon, and I just want you to get word from me that I'm still alive and I have some stuff to tell you. That's the scenario that these people are in tonight that would freak most of us out. And they're getting this letter and they're like, whoa, Paul, like, we love you. You planted our church. You're like our spiritual leader. And you're in prison being beaten right now. So keep that in mind as we read through verses 12 to 19 tonight, all right? Verse 12 says, now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Well, what happened to Paul? What's he talking about? He's in prison. The stuff that we just talked about, he's like, all that stuff that just happened to me, I got beat and now I'm chained as I'm like talking to you right now. I'm chained in this prison. He said, that stuff that happened to me that I've suffered through, it's okay. You're like, what? It's okay. Paul, how can you say that's okay? You're in prison right now telling me this. He said, it's okay because it served to advance the gospel. Remember last week we talked about what really matters? That he loved that church so much because they understood what really mattered, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Knowing and having a relationship with the King of the universe, that's what really matters. Paul gets it. Because you don't sit in prison getting beaten and spit on and locked up and go, hey, it's okay because it's for the gospel. Unless you really get that the gospel matters. So here's a guy who gets it, and he's sitting there saying, listen, don't be sad for me. Don't sit there and shed a tear for me. Don't pray that God lets me out of this prison. That's not what I'm asking you to do. He could have said that, right? Hey, church, listen, I'm in jail right now, and they're breaking my bones and doing all this craziness. Pray I get out of here. He could have said that. That's not what this letter says. He says, pray that it keeps advancing the gospel by me being here. Don't pray to let me out. Pray that God uses me while I'm here. That's pretty crazy. You see, he knew what really mattered and he lived it out. He didn't just talk about it. All right, look at what he says next. Verse 13, as a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. So as Paul's sitting in here, he's not just like being made fun of. He's making a difference in prison. Do you see that? Like the entire palace guard is seeing the difference in this guy as he's locked up. And they're like, what is different about you? How can you be here and be like this? I'm seeing a lot of prisoners. I'm a guard. Like I work with prisoners in a jail all the time. I see how they act. I see why they're here. I can see it in their personalities and their behavior. But when I look at you, Paul, you're different. Like, what's different about you? And it started to spread. And this guy said, hey, have you seen Paul? Like, what's up with that prisoner? He talks about this God, this Jesus, and he actually lives it out. He's actually different. And word spreads. And the more Paul talks about the gospel and lives the gospel out, his own guards, probably the same ones that beat him earlier, are going, whoa, what? And they're starting to understand that he's there for a reason. It's starting to become clear, it says, throughout all of them and everybody else, and they include the whole place in there, that he's in chains for Christ. Not just that he went to prison and got put in chains because he preached the gospel, but maybe that he got put in prison so that he could preach the gospel. Like, we know you got here because you were out preaching the gospel. We get that. That's why they locked you up. But we think you're actually here to share this with us. That's the purpose of you being here. You guys, sometimes I look at my life and I just, man, I'm a big crybaby to God. Man, God, haven't you seen that this is going wrong? God, haven't you seen that this isn't quite right or how I would have it? Can't you see how bad this makes me hurt, God? And I'm quick to raise that flag and be like, God, I'm calling foul on this one. And here's a guy. Man, he is in the worst possible scenario. And he's not going, God, oh, this is so unfair. Why am I here? He's going, God, I know this is part of your plan. Thank you. I know it hurts. I get that. This isn't exactly how I'd have it be, but I know this is how you want it to be. And I trust that. Guys, that encourages me in my low times. Because I can go, God, even though this part hurts right now, I know it's you. I know it's you working for my good. Nobody likes to go to the dentist. Nobody likes to have their tooth pulled out and the pain that goes with it. But you know what? When you're done and that toothache is gone finally, you're like, this was good. You know, like, I couldn't stand that. I wanted to punch that dentist right in the face when he was like hauling on my cheeks and stuff. That's why they're so big now, dentists. But anyway, but when it's done, it's like, thank you. And so Paul's going, this is a hard time, but I know it's for a better and bigger purpose. Thank you, God. Let it advance the gospel. And that's a hard thing to do. It's a lot easier for me to stand up here and look at you guys and go, hey, when you have hard times, just thank God for it. You're like, Rob, you're such a jerk. Like, that seems insensitive. But the truth is, from God's word, God has big plans for you. And even the steps that might hurt, man, the best thing you can do is trust him and say, Lord, this isn't how I'd have it, but I'm trusting you through it. I'm going to live by faith and not by sight. I'm going to trust that you love me enough to let this pain happen for a reason. And if it has to happen, God, use it to advance the gospel. That was Paul's heart. That's his letter to these people. I love this guy. Verse 14, he goes on, he says, because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. Some good stuff's happening, y'all. I'm sitting here, I'm in prison, I'm rotting away, but you know what? Good stuff's happening, so don't be upset with God. He says, one of the good things that's happening is that because I'm setting an example, people out there who love Jesus are actually standing up and finally being bold about it. They're telling people. They're going out saying, hey, God changed my life. I'm different now. You can be different too. Jesus can save you. And they're passionate about it, and they're bold about it, it says. They're fearless. Now, if Paul hadn't gone to prison, if Paul hadn't suffered through some of these things, that might not be the case, right? He's saying that God literally used that. That some of us might be like, hey, how could you let this happen? I'd be the first one to do that. I'll admit. And God would have to smack me upside the back of the head like he does so often and say, this is for a reason, Rob. Look. And that's what's going on here. This is for a reason. I'm in prison so that these people will stand up and be bold. Now I know there's some leaders in this room. As I look around, I can see leadership potential. I see people that I know. I look at you. I've seen your life. I've seen the way you act and the way you behave with your friends. And I know that you're leaders. And some of you have demonstrated that. And others of you are leaders, but you just haven't got it yet. I look at you and I'm like, I want to shake your shoulders so bad and be like, hey, you're a leader. Wake up. And you're like, me? All of us in this room have been empowered by the Holy Spirit. And some of you have been gifted with an incredible gift of leadership. And these are the years right now where you're starting to be like, oh yeah, I get it. And sometimes it takes hard times like this to wake us up to, and that's what's happening here. Paul's like, I'm in prison, and these people are stepping up and being leaders. They just needed someone to set the example. How many of you guys, God's already talked to your heart. He's already been calling on you. He's already been tugging on you. The Holy Spirit has been convicting you. Some stuff's been happening and you're still going, God, not right now. God, not yet. And what we're waiting on is that you'll finally go, God, okay. I'll set the example so that my group of friends around me might follow suit and follow my leadership and step up and start being bold about the gospel. And God's calling on you to be that leader. Maybe not to the entire world, but maybe to the five friends that you have that hang out with you all the time, that watch what you do. God's saying, be a leader to them. They're going to make fun of me. So what? You're not locked up in a prison. Big deal. Let them make fun of you. Step up. Be a leader. See what God does through that. I was at this one place. Have you guys ever like jumped in like off big rocks, like they have like big boulders next to rivers and stuff? Anybody ever get to do that anytime, like you jump off something like a waterfall or something like that? This was like this huge, huge rock, and it was right next to a pretty deep, awesome river. And I got to go, and it was a really popular place. A lot of people were like lined up to do this, and I didn't know like barely anybody there. I was just kind of people watching. You ever people watch? Yeah. I was kind of like, hey, did you see that dude? Like, did he really just do that? Like, it's just funny to watch people sometimes because we're quirky. And they were probably doing that to me twice as bad, so it's okay. And so people are like getting to the top of this rock, but they're funny when they're scared. Like, people are hilarious because they do the craziest stuff. They'll be all like tough, like, yeah, I can do that. And they get up the top and they're like, I can't do this. And like, girls will usually like do the whole thing, and I don't know why that makes you feel better. Like, are you fanning yourself? Like, what is that? I don't get it. But they do that thing, and then like there's all sorts of little quirks, you guys know what I'm talking about, that people do when they're in that moment where I'm gonna like throw myself off this rock and maybe die. And it's just funny, it's hilarious to watch. But there was this one dude who was like totally way too self-confident, and he gets up there and he has a dog with him. And the dog's hilarious. Like, the dog's like this happy little like funny looking fat dog, and he just like follows this guy. And they get up to the top of the rock. And this dude, like, shows off, you know, he's doing the whole thing. He jumps off this rock. And the dog, when he gets up there, the dog's freaking out. The dog's looking down, like pushing back. And then he's like, come on, let's go. And he's, like, pushing back, doesn't want to get off the rock. So the dude does this, like, show-offy, like, swan dive-looking thing and, like, goes in the water. And the dog sees him and freaks out. He's, like, looking around like I'm all alone type deal. Like, ah, what do I do now? And then the dog just, like, does this crazy leap for death. And he's just like, bah! It was hilarious, dude. His ears are flapping. His like jaw, his like cheeks are doing this. There's like saliva coming out. It was great. And he just lets out this like all the way down and just hits the water. It was awesome. That dog did not like that at all. And the dog never would have jumped except he saw his master jump. And I don't know if something clicked. You could see it like clicking his head like, I'm not getting left behind type deal. And he followed the leadership of his master. He jumped off after the show off. And made me realize for a second as I'm watching this, like how important leadership is. Do you guys get it? Do you understand how important leadership is? You understand how important it is that somebody rises up and shows people, hey, this is the way to go? Because right now in high school or junior high or wherever you're at, it might not seem super important. But look at the leaders that have led this world. Look at some of the leaders who are in charge of some really important countries today. Look at North Korea. We're always like, oh, they're going to like blow us up from like missiles and rockets and all this craziness because this one dude who's leading that country is just like, this is where we're going. How different would that be if we could replace that leader with somebody else? You pick the country, Hitler. What if Hitler had never become the leader of Germany? How different would this world look now?
What about your group of friends? How different would your group of friends look if you stepped up and you were the leader in a positive way, leading them toward Christ? How different would that look? If Paul was willing to go to jail, Paul's willing, you'll see later as we look through Paul's life, all the things he was willing to go through. Beaten, shipwrecked, tortured. You guys know the story, most of you. Man, he was like, I'm willing to go because I'm going to lead out. And here's why. I know what really matters. All this other junk doesn't matter. Jesus Christ matters. And the fact that you have a relationship with Jesus matters. I'm standing up here tonight because I believe Jesus matters. I believe that Jesus matters in your life and that you need to hear this. I love hanging out with you guys, but I'm going to tell you what, there are other things I could be doing. But I believe this is the most important right now, right here. Because you need to hear that Jesus matters the most. And Paul is screaming it out, not just with his words, in the way that he's living. And what he's doing, look where he is. And so he says, this was good because these people are finally courageous and fearless. And you know what they're doing by doing that? They're sharing their testimonies. You know what a testimony is? It's their story. It's their God story. This is what God did in me and changed me. I was this, God came along, and now I'm this. And all of a sudden, these people were able to stand up and courageously tell people, God has changed my life. And it can change yours. I don't want you to raise your hands, but I do want you to think in your head, answer this question. Is that something you do? Have you ever done that? If you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, have you ever told people about it? Like, this is the change in me. I want to encourage you to keep thinking about that. And if you haven't, keep asking God for the courage and the fearlessness to go do that. He says in verse 15, it's true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. So there's two types of people that have come up. Paul's in prison, and now there's people going, hey, we're going to go out and we're going to like do what this Paul guy's doing because he's making like all these waves and people know who he is. This is crazy. And they start like preaching the gospel and not even know the gospel. They're out like forming like groups of what we can't even call them churches because they weren't real churches. And they're out like starting these groups of people, and they're doing it so that they become popular. And he's like, but there's others that are really out sharing the actual gospel. It's happening. But now that I'm in prison, these people are out just doing their thing. It's like they're competing. I mean, churches don't compete, right? Like, that doesn't happen. Youth groups don't ever compete to see who's the best youth group, right? Like, people don't compete for more people, do they? I mean, that still happens today, y'all. And if you don't see the pastors and the churches leading out in that messed up way of doing things, we can look at a lot of people that come to churches and they're just comparing, this place isn't quite as good as the other place I went, or that place over there does it so much better, maybe I'll try that place. And there's this crazy rivalry that goes on in a body. The body fighting itself. That makes no sense. When he says, the gospel's supposed to unite us. We're not supposed to be people that are comparing. We're supposed to be people that are serving. Send me to prison. I don't care how comfortable the pew is. I could be sitting in prison right now in Afghanistan. And the gospel would still be going forth. So this is happening, and Paul's like, I don't know what's going on. Verse 16, the latter do so in love. Now he's going to talk about the people that are doing it out of good heart. They do so in love. Want to know the difference between that whole competition, who's better mentality that we have sometimes in churches? Love. We want people to know the God of the universe. We love them so much, we don't want them to go to hell for eternity. We look at their lives and see the brokenness and we're like, hey, I was broken too. Like, I know how you feel because I used to be a mess. And sometimes I still am. But it's awesome because now I have God to come in and pick up the pieces and you can have it too. And we love people enough to want them to know that and to experience that. Well, they make fun of me, Rob. Who cares? How much do you love them? So Paul said, these people are doing it because of love. So here's my question to you. Do you love? Do you love your friends? Do you love them enough to say, even if you make fun of me, I need you to know the truth? Do you love your family enough to tell them the truth of the gospel and what God's done in your heart? Because when we don't do those things, sometimes it's a sign that we really don't even get love. We don't quite understand what it means to really love people. And we need to ask God, show me how to love well. Make me bold and courageous to share this hope with other people. So the latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. Love was their motivation. Verse 17, he's going to talk about those people who are just causing trouble. He says, the former preached Christ out of selfish ambition. Like, they're selfish. Not sincerely, supposing that they could stir up trouble for me while I'm here in prison or in chains. Like, they're just selfish people. They're out doing it for their own reasons. That doesn't happen, right? People don't come to church for selfish reasons ever, do they? Like, I've never seen that. Like, that can be me so often. I come with a wrong heart to church. Instead of coming saying, who can I serve tonight? Who can I love tonight? Who can I minister tonight? Not because Rob Jones is a youth pastor and that's kind of my job, but because I love you. And hopefully each of you can come to this place and we could say, you know what? I love these other people so much. Who can I minister to tonight? Who could really use a hug? Who could I serve tonight in some way? When you go to your house, do you look at your family and go, how can I love my parents and my brothers and sisters well? How can I serve them well? You see, that's the mindset that starts to change in us as God starts to do some work in us. And these people didn't. These people did it out of selfish ambition. Verse 18 says, but what does it matter? There it is again. There's that same phrase, right? Because first he told us in the last passage what really matters. So now he's going, you know what? None of this actually matters. All this junk, all this rivalry, all this fighting. He's like, what really matters isn't any of that. And here he tells us, the important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, here it is, Christ is preached. That's what matters. Preach Jesus. And you might not always do it with a perfect heart, but keep preaching Jesus. Tell people about the hope that God has given you and the way He's changed you. Christ is preached. And he says, because of this, check this out, I rejoice. A dude sitting in prison is telling us how happy he is. Woohoo! Like, I'm in prison! No, not I'm in prison, but woohoo! God's awesome! Even if I'm sitting in a prison cell, I can still scream it out and celebrate and have a little God party in here because he's that great. I'm not going to hell forever. So what if there's a rat biting my toe right now or whatever? I don't know what was happening, but you know what I mean? Like, these circumstances, they're temporary. They're real and they do hurt, but they're temporary. And Paul's more excited about what's going to happen forever. Now listen to me. Listen close. I'm not at all making small of whatever hurt you might have tonight. If you've come in this place and your heart is hurting and broken about something, I know how real that is. Paul knows how real that is. Jesus knows and cares about how real that hurt in your heart is. And that hurt sometimes can be so strong that we don't think outside that box. It's like this cloud that holds us down. And we're not ready to go, woohoo! But as you pray and as you beg God to give you that joy, He promises to restore that joy to you so that you can go, you know what? I get to be with my God. No matter what this life looks like or how bad it hurts right now, He promises me, I get to be with my God. Then Paul says in verse 18, I'm sorry, he just said it in verse 18. He says in verse 19, after he says, yes, I will continue to rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for deliverance. If you're in that boat, if you're there tonight and you're like, Rob, you just hit it on the head, that's me. Here's what he tells you to do. Pray. Pray like crazy. Prayer works. Some of y'all might be sitting here tonight and you're like, I don't know, does it even work? What am I doing? Am I just talking to clouds? Like, prayer works. Keep doing it. He says, pray and the Spirit of Jesus Christ will empower you. Ask God. Jesus died so that you could have a conversation with God and He'd hear you and listen to you. Jesus opened up access for you to have a relationship with the Creator. Use it. Talk to Him. Pray to Him. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, He's going to do some awesome stuff through whatever brokenness is in your life. Let Him do it. Let Him make those changes. And some of y'all are like, but I've tried so hard, Rob. Like, I'm trying to do the right thing and I'm trying to stop trying and start depending on Jesus to do it. Pray. Ask Him to make the changes through you. Put on that armor, that spiritual armor, and say, God, here we go. Let's get in this war together. But trust in the power of the Holy Spirit to do this. And He says, and all this stuff will turn out for my deliverance, for salvation. These are good things. Even though you're looking at them going, these are bad. He's like, these are good things. And at the very end, look, He says again, like, rejoice. I will continue to rejoice. Here's Paul, still in prison. And you're telling me, rejoice. Because sometimes I feel like Paul sitting in a prison cell with no hope of getting out has a better attitude than I have sometimes on my best days. When I'm in my air-conditioned car, enjoying my friends, my family, good food, too much good food. And there he is. But none of that. And he's got more trust and hope and dependence in Jesus Christ than I have sometimes on my best day. And that wakes me up, and I hope it wakes you up a little bit to what really matters. And so I want to leave you with this tonight. The good stuff, the bad stuff, the in-between stuff, all of it's nothing unless it's been redeemed by God. Unless God says, I'm going to take the good times and I'm going to take the bad times and I'm going to take every part of your life and I'm going to redeem it for my gospel. All of a sudden it has value. So don't be quick to judge God and to yell and be like, what's wrong? What's going on? And don't be so quick to go, everything must be cool because everything's good in my life. Because either way, it could just end up being trash. Can I say it that way? It takes the God of this universe to come down and say, look, I'm going to redeem every part of it, good or bad. And I'm going to use it through the power of my Holy Spirit and through your praying to do some awesome stuff. So hang on and look out. Because as you start to say, hey, I'm going to be a leader with my friends. I'm going to go home and serve my family. I'm going to go to my school and I'm going to do these things. Satan's going to want to just beat that out of you quick. So that's why you pray. And that's why you ask for the Holy Spirit to redeem the good and the bad and to show you what really matters and to make a difference. All right? Will you pray with me tonight? Father God, we love you and we thank you that our lives are totally dependent on Jesus Christ. God, what matters is Jesus Christ. And Father, tonight as a group, we say that to you. We proclaim it out loud because we believe it. And Lord, we pray and we ask for your Holy Spirit to fill every young person in this room, every old person in this room, God, all of us with the power of Jesus Christ. Lord, so that when we leave this room, we're different. God, when we leave this room, we can be bold and fearless like these people to tell people about our testimonies, the change that you've made in us. God, we ask for nothing more than for you to show us what really matters and help us to live it out. We love you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.